Steve, 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 you've finally come back. I cannot thank you enough for being here for the finale of the show that you were supposed to be co-hosting. This is excellent. I'm so glad to have you back. Hi, Steve.
JD, woo! Boy, am I glad to be back. I'm just glad I'm here in time. Listen, man, have I got a surprise for you.
Oh?
All right, so as you know, I was, I just got back. I've been in California for a little while now, right?
Yes, I understand that.
I'm getting ready to make this big move out to Southern California. Well,
you know, it never rains there.
No, it does. It's beautiful all the time. In fact, I got out to see a lot of the sights. I got out to LA, JD.
Oh.
One day. And I got out to do some of the touristy stuff, and I found someone walking around, JD, that I think maybe you have a prior relationship with.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, someone who you have a very personal prior relationship with, who might have a couple choice words to say. Someone who's been a part of this podcast JD, I think you have some explaining to do.
Steve, what have you done?
JD, I found Kim. I found Kim, and Kim is here with me, and she has a couple things to say to you.
Why have you done this to me, Steven?
JD, let me reintroduce you and introduce the audience to Kim.
Hi, JD. Do you remember me?
Yes, I am well aware of who this person is. Steve, what have you done?
Hey, this is not about what I've done, JD. This is about what you've done. And what we need to address, I think, right here and now on the show.
That's exactly right. You left me, JD, high and dry. You bankrupted me. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, you got me fired.
You got her fired, JD.
That was not on me. You have you read what you wrote?
I don't read, I write.
Well,
she's a writer, JD. You knew this when you hired her, apparently. She told me the story from her side, and I have to say, I am surprised at you, JD.
Okay, who are you going to believe? Your longtime, sort of kind of best friend / enemy / weird kid that you hang out with for some reason, JD Hansel.
Yes.
Or Kim the intern. You don't even know her last name, Steven.
I have to say, Kim made a very convincing argument to me, JD.
Well, this is not the time for that because we are supposed to be reviewing this episode of Let's Talk Muppets. If you recall, Steven, that's what we agreed to do.
Well, okay, you know what? I'm going to leave it up to Kim. If she thinks that we should move forward here, if we think things could be patched up and at least the three of us can be friends for a minute...
Well, I think I would need a grand gesture.
Now, JD, are you prepared to make that grand gesture?
I'm actually making a very grand hand gesture right now. You just can't see it because it's a podcast.
Well, JD, I think that given that gesture that because you're my friend, I believe you're making, actually. Uh-huh. I think we can go ahead and proceed. So where are we going to go with this?
Where we're going to go with, I actually have no idea, because Stevethan, you know what you've done? You missed the entirety of the story synopsis, of first impressions, of...
Oh!
You missed the commercial break? It's a shame, because I promoted you, and you missed that.
I'm flattered. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, sorry, I actually changed my mind. I'm editing that out of the podcast
now. Oh, no. Well, so wait a minute. If you just said that you said all those things about me, but then edited that out, it's not going to make sense to people who are listening, JD.
No, I edited out.
This is very bad podcasting.
No, this is perfectly fine podcasting. This is completely acceptable. My grammar is correct. My sentence structure makes sense, and my organization has up until this point been efficient until certain people showed up. What a coincidence! So. I think that where we can start is just by getting your first impression, Steve. I mean, I don't like to redo my segments over again, but I'm willing to do this for you because you're my friend, so Your first.
Well, I appreciate that, and given the fact that Kim has joined us, I'm interested in Kim's first impression of this final installment of the Muppets.
My first impression, despite being hurt and beside myself because of JD.
Yes.
I did enjoy the episode. Mm-hmm. I thought that it was amazing.
This was a nice way to end the season. Yes. I mean, there are certain points that, and I'm sure we'll get into, where we thought, okay, this is a little bit much. But there was a lot of it that the tone was set very well. Yes. And in many ways, this was the kind of show that I wish we had had all season long.
Really?
Yeah. Are you kidding? We had Bobby Benson's baby band.
We had the babies, but they weren't playing instruments, so they weren't okay in their band, and there was no Bobby or Benson.
Well, I understand that, but we also had Marvin Suggs. We had a lot of elements that, yes, didn't. I mean, they were kind of rushed. I'll absolutely give you that. But we had characters who I had kind of been hoping to see the whole time. I thought the comedy was a lot better. I think this was, again, there were parts where it was a little heavy-handed, but all in all, on the whole, JD, overall,
shut up,
I thought it was very, very good.
Okay, and I agree. This was delightful. It was a delightful finale for the most part. I am pretty happy with it. I have issues with the ending, but we can get to that. I just think that they went a little bit overboard with the nostalgia and throwing stuff at us that we've already seen before to remind us of what they can do. We saw this.
JD, that's because you weren't alive when most of this stuff was actually on TV. This is nostalgia for us, yes, but this is reference to an era that you were just never a part of, okay?
Well, I'm sorry that I missed.
You need to not make this as much about you, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm sorry that I missed what was clearly an important time period for both of you in the 1970s.
Thank you.
We'll just move right along there.
Okay.
You weren't complaining about my year of birth a few months ago.
Oh, wow, JD, you have changed your tune, apparently.
You know nothing, Stephen. You have no idea.
Hey,
again,
I've spent an entire car ride with Kim on the way home from California. I know plenty, JD.
And he gave me plum wine.
I did.
You know what plum wine does to me.
Well, I wish I didn't. But that's not important right now. We're supposed to be talking about this story, which, you know, I just would be reading from a story synopsis on ABC.com. But, well, we all know how that fell through. So what did we think about opening up with Ralph and Kermit the way that we did 3 days later?
Well, I could tell you what I thought about that, but I think first I'm going to need you to pat my head a little bit.
This is a podcast, and you are in a completely different state.
Okay, I'm going to have Kim pat my head a little bit.
He was talking to me.
That is just weird.
How strange that you assumed he was talking to you.
Well, you know, it's funny how Steve and I used to be pretty good friends who actually, I believe it was back in 2012 when we shared French fries over a podcast. And I don't know how we did that.
I don't know how we did that either, quite honestly.
Yes, I remember this audio does exist. This did
does
happen.
It?
Yes, there is audio.
Wow, that's amazing.
Of you offering me French fries.
Okay, all right.
And I said I wanted some, so presumably I took some.
Okay, but, sure.
So then we get to Miss Piggy, who clearly was really, really excited about the idea of getting back together with Kermit, I think, because she was, you know, as soon as it was basically confirmed that it was him who, you know, said it twice, then she was really happy about it and was ready to jump right in. And I did not get the impression that she had been this, you know, desperate to get back together with Kermit this whole time. What did you think of that, Steve?
You know who I actually thought did the best job in that scene was Uncle Deadly, surprisingly.
Oh, really? Wow, you liked an Uncle Deadly scene?
Right? That's so unlike anyone who's ever seen the show. But no, I thought Deadly had a great moment where he showed just how loyal a friend he is to Miss Piggy. Because at first, he was kind of like, he was trying to kind of steer Piggy away from the idea of going back, you know, trying to remind her about how hurt she was and all these kinds of things, until He said, basically, he kind of laid it on the line and said, is this what you really want to do? And she said, yes. And he said, okay, well, then that's what we're going to do. You know, and he didn't say that in those exact words. But he demonstrated that, you know what, he is Piggy's best friend and supporter through and through, no matter what's in front of her, you know? So I thought that is actually what stood out more. Of course, Piggy's going to be excited about coming back to Kermit. I mean, those two are always, I mean, they're like magnets. They're attracted and then they're bouncing off of each other. So in any case, that's my take. But Kim, what did you think about that one?
Well,
that's great, Kim. So in the writer's room, I thought it was really fascinating how they brought all these Muppets together who, just upon hearing the notion of Kermit and Piggy loving each other, are trying to work out, you know, on this whiteboard whether or not they should be a couple. Like, right.
Oh, the whiteboard, yes.
It's just the idea that they were all so into it, and they had so much crazy stuff written on this board, I can't read half of it.
Did you pause it and read it? Because we sure did.
I've paused it, and I still can't figure out what in the world. I mean, I see P plus K. I'm sweet off.
P plus K equals something. But the one that stood out for me on the pros side was Denise is single.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, we read through most of those lists, and that's the only thing that I can remember from it.
Well, yeah, well, you know, hey, Denise, she certainly seems like a good catch, a good listener. A stable job that she's not going to get fired from, you know?
Which I think that's very coincidental that you dumped me right as she became available.
Now that is interesting timing, isn't it, JD?
It is, but it's, wouldn't it be ironic if I ended up with a pig after, who I found you with? But that's not the point. What I think was really, sort of an, I still can't figure out exactly how I feel about this, even after talking about this with Jared and Ariane when you should have been there, Steve.
A lot of things should have happened, JD, but, well, we're kind of addressing that tonight, aren't we?
Well, you know, I really think you could have saved some time if you hadn't been picking up any strangers in your car there.
Oh, I'm not complaining about the company at all.
No, well, hold on. Think about this. You could have been here sooner and could have been here on time to record the show with me with Jared and Ariane. And yet somehow you got delayed because you wanted to pick up a certain someone?
Well, I wasn't even looking for Kim. Kim found me
as I was walking through the
streets of Los Angeles, and we struck up a conversation and I realized who she was and said, "Wait a minute, oh my gosh, I think I know what needs to be done here. Is we need to drive together for 3 days back to Ohio and sort this whole thing out." And sort it out we did, JD. So, yes.
Kim, you went all the way to Ohio just to bother me on my own freaking podcast, even though I can totally edit you out? Doesn't that seem like a little bit like just a waste of your time?
Well, actually, JD, I rode back to Ohio because I think Steve is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Kim and I have an announcement to make, JD.
Can it wait?
It can wait, but the fact that I've already said it sort of implies what the announcement is, isn't it?
Okay, fine. Give your announcement now.
Well, I would just like to announce that, I know that Kim was your girlfriend. And you know, JD, you and I go way back, right? We go way back.
Yes, we are brothers.
We are, in fact. So I hope that you're not too mad at me that, Kim's my girlfriend now, JD. So that's just how it is.
Take that.
Okay. All right. Sure. I don't know how your new girlfriend Amy's going to feel about that, but once I tell her, this is going to be a really interesting dynamic. I'm really looking forward to see how this goes down now. Oh, well, I thought I was the one in trouble here.
No, I understand what you're saying, and you know what? If you happen to find Amy walking around the streets of Anaheim?
I don't have to. Facebook exists.
Well, it does. It does. Well, if you happen to find her and bring her on the show, I'll be very interested to hear from her.
Okay, then. All right. As long as you are comfortable with your life choices. Wow. No wonder the two of you ended up together. Both cheaters. Wow. Okay. But
I beg your pardon. And I would like to clear the air on one thing, JD, and this is very important to me. And as I'm sure your listeners can hear, I am articulate and I write as well as I speak. And I'm here to make my own announcement. JD has dyslexia, and that's why the writing sounded so bad. It was not the writing, it was his reading of the words.
Link in the show notes to what she actually wrote for ABC.com. See for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Links in the show notes. Because I'm the editor, and that's how this works. Booyah! JD for the win. What I was trying to talk about was Fozzie Bear. Because Fozzie offered a really, really interesting twist on this when, as usual, Fozzie was just trying to be the nice guy and compliment Kermit, and then totally ended up ruining Kermit's whole plan.
Oh my, yes.
That was just such a neat way to use Fozzie. And then for him to finish it with who are you? And what have you done to Kermit? And the way he shook him so hard, I was worried the puppet was going to break. It was absolutely beautiful. It was such a beautiful moment. I loved it.
It really was. I loved how, Fozzie played a very interesting role in this. That really kind of makes me think more of just Kermit's reactions to, okay, first of all, he jumps in, he's back with Piggy, and then he's hiding behind a planter, right? And then he's doing his work inside of his desk. Like, and I think Fozzie even becomes part of that exchange with Yolanda and Pepe finding him. Am I correct in thinking that, or is that Gonzo?
I don't think Fozzie was there. I think Scooter was there.
It was Scooter.
Oh, that's right. But anyways, yeah, I think Fozzie was the brother that he needed to be for Kermit in this episode, and trying to bring Kermit back to, well, being grounded a little bit. But of course, it's Fozzie, so he kind of failed.
Well, I think it was really great how they immediately followed him second guessing with Miss Piggy coming in with the fan blowing and Yolanda flying through the air, which was delightful.
Which I just noticed this past time watching it. Yes.
Are you kidding?
Oh my God.
You have that hard of a time observing things like that?
No, it was just...
You two are two peas in a pod. Continue.
You don't know the half of it.
Okay, sure. Now, I think the thing with Miss Piggy in this scene, though, is when she gets up from that post, it is really, really awkward just how human she feels. Like, you kinda,
that's true.
It's just odd how all of a sudden I felt like I wasn't looking at a puppet, I was looking at a person.
Personalities were very strong in this one.
That's not just what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the puppetry here. Because you basically see Miss Piggy's whole body down to her knees as she starts walking.
And they've done that several times too, haven't they?
But here they did it in a really interesting way.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's all I wanted to say about that.
Well, did the two of you catch in that exact moment that she was walking that way because she was walking against the fan? The same force that blew Yolanda across the room, Piggy was trying to walk towards the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that now. When I look at it now, I see that is why it looked awkward, but it still looked cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, some of the best puppetry of the season. Well, we've said that a lot. There's been so many moments throughout this entire series where we look at that and go, okay, how did they do that? Yeah. Which is the point of the Muppets.
No, it isn't.
I think it's great because they do these extremely... You wait.
Well, that sounds familiar. You're not the only person on this call who said that to me.
Oh, well. There's always been... probably at least a moment in each of these episodes that you look at and you go, okay, first of all, how did they do that? But even people like you and I look at it and do that. But for people who, even for people who don't, that's what makes the Muppets seem so real, is because they increasingly are able to do these same sorts of things that you and I can do. And we know that they're not real characters, but it does sort of humanize them and it makes them a lot more real in our world.
Okay, I can see that, but I don't think that's the point of the Muppets. The point of the Muppets is to bring the world the third greatest gift.
Okay, point taken. Yes.
Does anyone remember what the world's third greatest gift is?
Ice cream, yes.
No. No. No.
It's laughter. I get it. Yes.
There we go. Yes, there.
Okay. I was being cute.
I was just trying to make sure everyone understood the callback. Speaking of callbacks, look at all the Muppets from Muppets Tonight and earlier who just randomly show up as a part of the Plus 11s in this episode. Like
Link Hogthrob was there.
Link Hogthrob
was
there.
Which is half of my prediction.
Half of your prediction.
Denise was not on his arm,
Denise was
sadly.
Not on his arm.
And we know why, don't we?
Well, we do know why.
No,
yes.
No, you really don't know why. It's you see, if you keep on making these assumptions, then I don't see how any of your relationships are going to go any better. This is half of what, no, this was one of the 50 reasons that led to, it's too complicated. I was trying to talk about how we get to see Droop, who I believe was performed by Peter Linz.
Yes.
As he's sucking on the hand sanitizer dispenser.
Oh, man. He's no help.
Miss Piggy loved the hand sanitizer dispenser, and now Droop loved it as well. So I guess they're really, 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 really popular there, probably because all of the Muppets are just hands.
You know, I hadn't thought of that. That's very funny.
It's true. Technically,
yes, it is.
When Droop was sucking on the thing of hand sanitizer, that was Peter Linz's hand just using the thing of hand sanitizer.
That's true.
followed by, of course, delivering perfectly, and now they're out of hand sanitizer.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Really got me. I don't know
Love
why
that.
That's funny. I feel like that could have been ad-libbed because it has no real reason to be in the scene.
Probably so, yeah.
I don't know why it's funny. But then, yeah, I was having a hard time remembering the names of some of these Muppets. It was, I mean, obviously we've got Old Tom.
Yes, we had Old Tom, which was fantastic.
But why didn't we have Dead Tom?
I know, right? So because he's dead, that's why.
But Dead Tom's always been dead. That never stopped him before.
Oh, okay.
See, he could have been there. And where was Tamanella Grinderfall?
JD.
What?
Okay, Kim, here's the thing about JD and Tamanella Grinderfall. We might think it's coincidental that Denise became single the same time that you did. But Tamanella Grinderfall and JD, there's a whole different dynamic. We don't have enough time to go into the unsettling dynamics, the details that surround the relationship of JD Hansel and Tamanella Grinderfall.
And because we don't have enough time, we should move on to discussing the next part of this episode, which is when Howard Tubman is oddly reintroduced as important character in this episode.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Again, just crazy characters coming out of the woodwork.
Okay,
yeah.
We know how that happened. Bill Beretta has a lot of power on this show.
Yes, he does, as a matter of fact.
It kind of reminds me of, you know, part of why there was so much Elmo on Sesame Street back in the day is how much power Kevin Clash had in various departments.
Yeah,
at Sesame.
Yeah.
And we're seeing something similar here.
Well, but this was, these were fun characters. Yes, there's a lot of Bill in this show. We haven't even really talked about Pepe's, you know, signature line, the whole because love thing.
Because love.
It wasn't that funny.
Enjoyed it. I enjoyed it when he used it as he was spraying the spray, the perfumey stuff. That's when I really enjoyed it, because then it just became this attack.
It did become, yeah. I
thought that was funny.
It was funny when he did it to Yolanda.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. But like, and I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit, but it becomes the last thing that he says in the episode. But at that point, it wasn't funny again.
No, I kind of liked how that was the way they ended the episode.
Really?
I kind of did. Being said, I wish they had had a different closing during the credits, because we basically already knew everything that was said and done in that last, in the credit roll.
Agreed.
That was completely redundant. That didn't need to be there. I hate to skip ahead so much, but it didn't need to be there. What did need to be there, and I'm glad this was there, is Big Mean Carl in the background of the scenes with Howard Tubman and all those other obscure Muppets. He's working on an iPad or some kind of tablet, and then he eats it towards the end of the scene. So I don't know why he bothered to do all that work on there if he didn't.
We missed that one.
Of course he did. So then, what do we think of Kermit being in the drawer, which is oddly really, really large? Because what are you going to keep in there? Like, you could fit a refrigerator in there, but it's not going to hold files.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was very funny. Not something that I would have expected, and not a place I would have expected Kermit to be, quite honestly. Mm. And funny that he's got a computer, a lamp, his phone. Like, he has his whole little office right there in his little drawer.
True. Yeah, even chips.
He's got a bag of chips.
Right, a bag of chips that's a brand I've never heard of.
He's got all that, JD, and a bag of chips.
Mm. By the way, the bear that you were thinking of as being in that scene was not Fozzie, it was Bobo. Bobo comes into the scene, and eventually Gonzo has a line or two.
I like how
Kermit kind of tries to close the door of the drawer while he's inside.
Yeah, he kind of like, and he's like trying to lean it back in, yeah.
It sort of reminded me of a bit that they did on Kermit's appearance on Colbert when, looking at it and looking at how the puppet's obviously not moving at all out of the ground because that's where Steve's arm needs to be through that hole. In this episode, I mean, I saw that. But then when they had the situation of Steve's arm obviously going through a hole in the blanket in the bit with Colbert, and you kind of see how much they're struggling to make this work from a puppetry standpoint, and they try to do a high five, and Kermit, you know, twists his arm around in this really weird way, and obviously can't move it any more than that, and he's like,
yeah,
you're going to have to come to me, buddy. I like little nods to the puppetry involved like that, and I kind of wish they had more nods like that in this show.
And then he gets up and just jumps out the window.
Yeah, that was really interesting. You know, if we thought in, what was it, episode 2 that had Josh Groban?
Yeah.
If we thought he lost his hop then, based on how he totally failed to tackle Groban,
yes.
He doesn't seem like a difficult person to tackle. I mean, he's only Josh Groban.
I bet Kim could take him down.
I didn't find it hard to tackle him at all.
Wait a second. So that's, over the past few months, that makes a third person?
And that's what she was... That's when she was still dating you, I think.
I don't know that we were together at that time. I'm wondering. I don't recall when exactly we got together.
Then don't make assumptions, JD.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I was single enough.
That's good. I like
single enough.
Single enough.
Single enough. That explains
nice.
So many things. So many things. So we got to see you know what? I think we may be running out of time here.
Okay.
This
all
episode
right.
of the podcast has gone long because you didn't show up on time, Steve. Because you wasted
I'm
your time.
I'm sorry.
Steve.
I believe it's been well worth it, though. Would you agree with that?
I would most certainly agree.
Yeah, I think it's been good.
Of course you would. So then, Kermit meets Jack White, who is someone I had not heard of before this episode.
Okay.
Have you?
Yes. And that's about my reaction.
Yeah, that was not exactly the biggest
Here's the
star
thing.
To get
I
to the
I understand
finale.
That Jack White is very talented at what he does.
Yeah, sure.
He's quite good at being at making that kind of music. It's just not the kind of music that I'm necessarily a fan of, is all.
I can understand that.
But having said that, I didn't dig the song at all. I like the singing part of it, but... Like the weird little intro and the middle thing that he did to try to make it sound more like a Jack White thing like that, I didn't get.
It was a bizarre juxtaposition, really.
Yeah, it was like two different songs that they just kind of shoved together.
Eh. Well, we're all familiar with things that don't quite go together being together tonight, aren't we? And then we got to see Bobby Benson's baby band again. We got to see Marvin Suggs again. And it was fun. When they did Mana Mana, it's like, really? Do you really just need to bring that out there just because it's Mana Mana? Like,
why didn't they do that one first, is what I thought. Like,
okay.
Just do that one, because having it be the third thing that they... Was it the third?
Approximately.
It was not the first thing. It feels to me like they did a couple things
first.
They
did a couple things first, and they talked about Bobby Benson's baby band.
Right.
And then I think they showed
Nobody
Marvin.
Except us knows who that is.
Oh, people remember Muppets Most Wanted. It's a movie that happened.
Okay,
but
I guess.
Everyone remembers the 2011 Muppet movie, how they bizarrely, for no good reason, end with Amy Adams turning to the camera and saying Mana Mana, which I thought was just an awkward ending. But
was,
for some
yes.
reason, Muppet Studio is continuously trying to remind us how awesome Mana Mana was. And you know what? Mana Mana is fine and all, but it's not exactly the funniest of Muppet sketches or the most brilliant thing that they've ever done.
But it is one of the catchiest things they've ever done.
Yeah, but I would much rather see them bring back, you know, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't think of this sooner. It would have been great if, for some odd reason, out of the blue, there's an exchange between Kermit and Fozzie that happens to bring them back into Good Grief, the Comedian's a Bear. Like, that's
way
a funnier...
less. Okay, I understand that you and I think that's funny. But way more people know Menomina. And even if they didn't know it, they would enjoy Menomina a whole lot more than trying to understand why Good Grief, the Comedian's a Bear is funny.
I don't know. I'm skeptical. I think that it's a good bit, and I think that it could have worked.
Okay, everybody email me, me@MuppetHub.com, and tell JD why he's wrong.
Or why I'm right.
If or you'd like why, to he's, e- why he's wrong.
If
and you, why he's single.
Okay. And if you guys would like to give Steve Swanson a hard time for giving me a hard time, you know who to email. And me.
I'm not sure that's
going to
happen, JD.
I'm not sure either, but it's always worth a shot. It's always worth a shot. Oh, really, I can't believe
I just,
this.
I wish you... Jared and Ariane could hear as this was happening right now. That's all I wish.
You know... I can't believe that after all I did for you to help you with the 2016 Muppet Madness tournament and get you all set up so that you hardly had to do anything for the Muppet Madness tournament. I have gotten everything in place for you. And this is how you repay me. I cannot believe this.
By stealing your girlfriend, I know. I'm heartless.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
Except for he dumped me.
Oh, that's true.
So
that's
you didn't really steal anything.
I guess
anything.
I didn't. No. I stole your heart.
Oh, you certainly did. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Enough with the lovey-dovey stuff. In the next scene, a few scenes later, we get Kermit and Jack White just talking for some odd reason on a bench. Sort of like Great Muppet Caper, but not quite. You know, we get them singing a loud rock song in a car for some reason and all that stuff. And then we get to the big gesture of love that Miss Piggy walks in on too soon, and then she hears about the coin flip and Fozzie's ruined it again, as he always does. What do we think about that scene?
I liked it, except for the fact that I felt like Crazy Harry was kind of shoehorned in.
That one made sense.
It did, but it's like, okay, we've only got a couple minutes of this episode left. This is too little too late, and I don't know. I wanted to enjoy that moment a lot more than I did.
Huh. Okay. I don't know. I was pretty thrilled because I didn't see it coming, and then it was there, and it made sense. I thought.
Granted, they did
fun.
Fire a cannon, which felt a little bit like the old days. That was nice.
And then we've got Miss Piggy running out during the closing number, and I don't know that that seems realistic. Someone had to close out the show.
That's what I thought. Yeah, like, who's closing the show?
Fozzie?
That was kind of what I assumed. It's like, you know what, okay, announcer guy will jump in and that's all of a show. See you next time or whatever.
And,
yeah.
And how did they get that many t-shirts printed out that day with love on them, or Team Love?
Oh, yeah, that's true. There are
so many plot holes in this. The biggest one
now,
is...
Now, JD, are you Team Love or Team Friendship?
Oh, Team Friendship, duh.
Or like Yolanda... Team Friendship with Benefits.
Yeah.
Just Team Friendship. I think friendship is nice. Everyone needs a little bit of space.
All right. Okay. You know? Says a lot. Okay.
I mean, Janice might be able to persuade me in exactly the opposite direction.
I knew you had a thing for Janice.
Oh!
I knew it.
That's
oh
not what
gosh.
I meant.
You knew
know
it from
it.
The
no,
start?
No. This was a reference to Samus. I am praising Samus. That's what's going on here. I was so glad that they did not drop the Samus plot.
Samus did represent in this episode. Yes, that was very nice to see.
That is important. And then at the end, since we're talking about unrealistic things and plot holes, how does Kermit just get to walk onto this plane that he wasn't even planning on, you know, actually taking all the way to the destination and then just stay there on the plane?
He bought a destination. Ticket.
He bought a ticket... So he could give her a sandwich?
He's Kermit the Frog. He's rich. He can buy a ticket if he wants to buy a ticket.
Or did he actually... Well, how did he know exactly what flight she was getting on? And then how did Pepe know exactly what flight they were getting on? And then how did they not see each other at all in the airport? I mean, so many questions. I don't understand.
Okay, JD.
Yes.
Repeat to yourself. It's just a show. I should really just relax.
It's just a show. I should really just relax. It's just a show. I should really just relax. And
now
I'm good.
Stop repeating it. Stop.
Now That's stop enough. Repeating it. Stop. 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 We need to stop this episode of the podcast.
We, at this point, yes, need to really stop doing this.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Steve, for coming on the show. I do appreciate it. Do you have any favorite moments that you'd want to share real fast? Anything really special?
Nothing apart from what I've already shared. There's just a lot of little things that, to me, again, made this feel like one of the best episodes. Not the best, maybe the third best. For me, this was the third best episode of the series. And you know what? For a season finale, that's not too bad. Kim, what do you think about?
Well, I like friendship, but I love love. And
well,
so
clearly.
That was my favorite part of the episode, and I loved the episode. How could you not?
Of course, how could you not? JD, how could you not love this episode?
I loved it. It was good. It was a good way to end the season. It was nice. I'm pretty happy with that. Well, thank you, Steve, for finally joining us.
It was my pleasure, JD. Thank you for having me on this episode and on this podcast. It's been a lot of fun. I feel like I'm kind of sad that this is the last one, you know?
Well, it's the last one of this season.
Well, no, it is the last one of the season. You're correct, yes. But I
believe in season two.
I feel like this has been a great collaboration. I wish there was something else that we could collaborate on.
Hmm. Well, you know, it is the month of March, so maybe there's a chance that we could both work on something like March Madness? Something like that?
Ooh. Oh, we could... Oh, wait. I hate basketball. That's not going to work.
I hate basketball, too. And I hate soccer. And I hate baseball. And I hate football. I even kind of hate golf.
What do you think about shuffleboard? We could do shuffleboard.
No, I haven't been able to shuffle since I got my hip replaced years ago.
Oh, okay. There's that. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the Muppets at all? Because I'm thinking about... Stay with me now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like the basketball thing, but I like the tournament kind of idea.
And you know what I like? I like the idea of madness.
Do you now? Oh, well,
I do.
Okay, so I have a great idea.
Okay.
All right. Now, mm-hmm. stay with me. We like Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
It's March.
This is such a stupid bit.
We like madness.
This is such a stupid bit.
What we need to do, JD, is elect the Muppet president. That's what we need to do.
Yes, of course. Elect the Muppet president.
Elect the Muppet president.
If there's a president of the United States, and we're not going to like whoever it is who becomes president of the United States, most likely. Just saying. Odds are we're not going to be very happy.
Someone's not gonna.
Then we need a Muppet president.
That way, someone can not like who's the Muppet president, too.
Exactly.
Right.
And then we can make all these conspiracy theories about him. Oh, or her, for that matter. It could be any. It could be a male Muppet, female Muppet, big Muppet, a small Muppet, an old Muppet, a young Muppet. Wow.
I'm so glad we just came up with an idea to make Muppet fans angry.
Yeah.
I mean, apart from this podcast, we have another way to make... Yes, this is fantastic.
It's amazing that just now we thought of a thing that we can be doing for a Muppet Madness tournament.
All right. Well, so I guess that's what we're going to do next, folks.
I guess that's it. I guess we need to elect the Muppet president. Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, let's on that note, thing. I guess...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is Kim still there?
I'm here.
I know that the way I've been acting tonight has been rather cold. I have to keep up my image of someone who's, you know, always on top of things and not,
you have a reputation to uphold, right?
I try not to come across as too emotional, and I always want to be, you know, pretty pretty firm and run a tight ship, and I can
actually, I wouldn't use the word uphold when talking about your reputation, but
that's fine. Okay. Shut up, Steve. This does not concern you. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that I have something that I want to say to you.
Okay.
And you know, I know that our breakup was not exactly a pleasant experience. And I do think that this time apart to think about things has been good. But I think that maybe we should, well...
Oh, JD, I know what you're going to say.
Yes. I have to say it. I don't know why, but I just feel compelled to say King Tut and Jolly Green Giant.
What? Hello?
JD?
What just happened?
Hello?
Am I back together with him, or am I still with you?
You tell me.